Good morning, church. If this is your first time here, I want to give you a big welcome to our online service. If this is not your first time here, I want to say I miss you all. I miss you all. I can't wait to come back and to worship with you all in person. So I ask you to pray. We pray for the church. Right now we're considering, you know, we're planning out the steps, whether if we can reopen and whether what we will do when we reopen. And please pray for us that we have wisdom and that we have the knowledge to prepare for a appropriate timeline of return. And also, of course, when the government allows us. But also remember to pray for us in terms of our location. Pray for us in terms of where we can gather next. Right? As you know, we usually gather in Richmond Secondary School, and we are talking to them about, you know, what's to come, and we're also talking about other options too. So please pray for us, and I can't wait to see you guys and worship with you all in person. Before we enter into worship, I'm going to ask you to a time of prayer. I'm going to pray for two things. Well, first thing is we're going to pray to prepare our hearts. But more importantly, I want to invite you to pray for the world. Pray for the world. And I'm sure a lot of you guys already know, and you guys are very concerned and rightfully so about the situation that's going all over the world, in Hong Kong, in the States, you know, the protests that's going on. I want to ask you, other than, you know, posting on social media, which is, you know, a great thing to do, other than supporting the movement, also pray for them. Pray for them. Because when we pray, we can ask God to intercede, and we can ask God to bring, you know, the kingdom values, and we can ask God to work in these really, really messy situations. So other than supporting them, I'm going to ask you to pray. So that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to ask to pray to prepare our hearts and also pray for those people. Let's pray together. God, we lift up the people around the world in prayer. God, especially I want to remember first the people in Hong Kong. God, I know for a lot of them, this is going to be a really shocking time to live by. And a lot of them, this is going to be very difficult. And I'm sure there's a lot of anger. There may be a lot of unrest. There's a lot of turmoil that's going on. And God, I pray for those people. I pray for the citizens that, God, you will calm their hearts and you will give them peace during this time. And that you will give them wisdom on how they can live during this troubled time. God, I also pray for the churches in Hong Kong that you will raise them up to be the light in that city. God, I also pray for the people in North America, those of us that are affected, or those of us that are very heavily hearted to the news of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement. God, I pray that you will continue to fuel us with desire for justice, because that's what you desire. That's what you are as well. You are a justice God. You are a just God. So God, I pray that you continue to fuel our passion for justice, for righteousness. And God, I also pray that you give us wisdom into how we can respond to these, how we can be, not just be an advocate, but be a Christ follower in these situations, in these matters. That we not only be an advocate for these injustices, but we be an advocate for Christ and how we can live out our faith during this time. And God, in just a second, we're going to enter into worship. I pray that you prepare our hearts, you soften our hearts. And I ask that you don't, we don't ask that you remove these thoughts that we're thinking about, but God, you help us to put into proper perspective what they mean in the kingdom, what they mean in relation to you. And God, help us with a softened heart to come before you and to lift your name on high. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us rise for worship.
Together worthy, all
together wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Together lovely, you're together worthy, all together wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory and creation now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Thank you. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name.
Deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Hallelujah. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, Jesus. Suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry. Then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Were the whole earth echoing his eminence, his name would burst from sea and sky. And from rivers to the mountain tops, we'd hear Christ be magnified.
Oh, Christ be magnified.
Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. When every creature finds its inmost melody, and every human heart its native cry, oh, then in one enraptured hymn of praise, we'll sing Christ be magnified. Singing, oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise, and Christ be magnified in me. Singing, oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, and Christ be magnified in me. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice cause you're there too. And I won't be formed by feelings, I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. And cause death is just the doorway into resurrection life. If I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, and my heart will still be singing, and my song will be the same. And I won't bow to idols, I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice cause you're there too. And I won't be formed by feelings, I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just the doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, oh, my heart will still be singing, and my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified, and let his praise arise, and Christ be magnified in me. Singing, oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, and Christ be magnified in me. Singing, oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise, Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, and Christ be magnified in me.
God, you're worthy.
You're worthy that we devote all of our lives to. And when people look at us, they're going to think that we're crazy. When people look at us, they might even despise us. They might even look at us funny, or maybe like the song says, they will throw us into the fire, whatever that may mean in this circumstance. But God, you're so worthy of all of our praise. You're so worthy that we put our lives unto you. Because if we don't, the universe is going to do it anyway. The universe is programmed to put you into its highest place. The universe itself is programmed to give you praise. And so are we. So God, I think in a lot of us, deep down in our hearts, we have this yearning to put you at the right place. We have this yearning to magnify you to its greatest place. But God, help us, because we're weak. We have our struggles, we have our thoughts, we have the things that we worry about sometimes a little too much. So God, I pray that you help us. Help us consecrate this life. Set it apart for your use. To magnify you. To lift your name high. In this world now that so, so desperately needs to know your name. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. And we say, amen, amen. Amen, amen. It's so good to worship with you all. Why don't you take a seat as we go on to sermon?
It's so good to be worshiping with all of you this morning. As COVID-19 situation has improved right here in BC, we have all become more relaxed and cheerful. And I've heard some of you have slowly resuming some of the activities that we're not able to do in the last few months. Some of you may have already gone out to restaurants for dim sum, bubble tea, and perhaps one of the first things that you have done, you just can't wait to go out back to your favorite hair salon and take care of those hair that has been growing out of control for the last 3 months. Perhaps some of you are just like me, who simply cannot wait and like to take things into your own hands. And this is the end result that you can see. Now, I will leave it to your imagination to figure out what the back of my head looks like. All I can say is, in a couple of weeks, it's gonna look just fine. Now, I understand many of us have faced many challenges in the last few months. Losing your job, not being able to go to school, and maybe some of you, that's one of the greatest things. You can spend more time playing video games and watching Netflix. But if you're a grade 12 student or you just graduated from university, then it really sucks. Because your vision of how your graduation would turn out to be very different than what you had imagined before. Our life seems to be now defined by one word, virtual. There's virtual graduation, virtual learning, virtual meeting. The irony is that virtual means something that is not real. But yet, the thing is, virtual has become a reality. And for the Christians among us, our church life and how we attend worship on Sunday morning has been changed entirely. Even our worship has become virtual, as if it is not real anymore. Over the last few months, we have made a challenging transition from in-person worship to a virtual online service. The pastoral team and the rest of the staff team and worship team have done an amazing job in a very short period of time putting everything online. Even our small group ministry is now online. But even as BC reopens, going back to our old ways of worshiping is still a long way away. With all the social distancing requirements that have been put in place, and I know that many of you have been faithfully serving in the various teams that makes the Sunday worship service possible. Perhaps you've been diligently serving in a tech team, site team, Kapos children ministry. But over the last few months, all your scheduled serving has been canceled and indefinitely shelved. Perhaps you have great plans for your ministry teams, but now all that vision casting has been put in a deep freeze. Your enthusiasm and your hope and your energy have started to die down, and you find yourself not having the same fire as before. Gradually, that fire has become lukewarm, and you just know that sooner or later, it may end up in a deep freeze as well. And no matter how hard you try, how much you remind yourself that these difficult times will pass, you just cannot help with the fact that there seems to be nothing you can do. Yes, God has given you many gifts, but all those gifts seem to have no meaning or purpose anymore, because there is no opportunity where you can serve and you feel stuck. And you start to say to yourself, this is just the way it's going to be. And you begin to accept this as the status quo. And not only that, the scary thing is that your identity has become more fuzzy. You start to question or rethink your own identity and purpose as a Christian, as a Christ follower. What does it mean to be a Christian in this new normal? And you are at a loss for words to come up with an answer. It is with this type of framing that we kick off this new sermon series, Through Him Who Strengthens Us. Churches and Christians are facing unprecedented challenges during this pandemic. In this sermon series, we are going to study the letter to the Philippians that was written by the Apostle Paul. And in there, we're going to find encouragement and strength to break out of our comfort zone and move forward to uncharted waters. Now, while most of us were locked down during the pandemic, Paul was also being locked down in prison, waiting for his trial in Rome when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. You see, the church at Philippi holds a very important place in Paul's heart. It's the first church that Paul has started in Europe, and the church has been faithful and generous in support of Paul and his ministry. Now, Paul's situation is dire. He may be executed anytime by Caesar, at a time the Roman emperor. Now imagine if you are one of the Christians at the Philippian church, and one day you receive this letter from Paul. What would you expect Paul to write about? Won't you be curious to find out how Paul is doing and what is on Paul's mind during this seemingly hopeless situation? After all, he's under full lockdown mode and surrounded by the most elite security guard in Rome. And he cannot use his gifts as a gifted preacher. What would Paul be thinking in a time like this? Now, this morning, through the letter of the Philippians, chapter 1, we will get a very unique and special glimpse into the heart and inner workings and mindset of Paul. How did a Christ follower such as Paul deal with circumstances that I'm sure no one would rather be in? Just like you and me, who do not want to be stuck and trapped as a result of COVID-19. Now, given the predicament that Paul is currently in, what sort of tone do you think Paul will use in his letter? Does he feel despair, hopeless, discouraged, loss of sense of direction and identity? Exactly the same feelings and thoughts that might have been going through our mind in the last little while after a prolonged period of home arrest. In chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, I rejoice. What? I rejoice. How can that be possible, Paul? You should be grumbling, maybe even complaining a little bit. lamenting that you should never deserve all of this. So unless your focus is on something else, something that you found to be far more precious, something that you far more treasure than what you are facing right now, it must be something that is far more important than the dire circumstances that you are facing. So what is it? Here, I will let Paul explain it to you in his own words. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you what has happened to me recently. Guess what? I am joyful because more people have come to know Christ, even I'm under full lockdown in the prison. Even the Emperor's security police know that I'm locked up because of Christ. Not only that, other Christians in Rome has become even bolder in their preaching of the gospel. Yes, I'm being locked up here, but it doesn't matter because the gospel of Jesus Christ is being spread as we speak. You see, God's mighty work does not stop during a pandemic. So you too should be joyful. Paul goes on and explains his point further. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. Yes, there are some people who preach the gospel out of bad intentions, but then there are those who spread the gospel out of love and out of goodwill. But so what? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, the most important thing is Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. You see, for Paul, the most important and essential thing in his life is that Christ is proclaimed and the gospel is being spread. And this is where he derives his joy even when he is locked up. God is still working even when Paul, one of the greatest preachers ever lived, cannot utter one single word to the outside world. Yet, the gospel is still being spread. God can use a dire situation for his good purposes because he is God. Yes, I know. In the last few months, it almost felt like your life as a Christian is grinded to a halt. There's no in-person Sunday worship. You can no longer hang out with your friends and brothers and sisters at church. You can no longer serve and welcome newcomers. There's no in-person small group. And you can no longer have bubble tea after fellowship. All the roles that you used to serve is no longer. And you may be stuck at home and not be able to serve the way you used to be. And it is as if your identity has slowly have eroded away as well. Yes, your normal habits and concept of church is no longer. But today we are reminded by Paul, do not zero in on your circumstances or feelings or emotions. Do not focus or lament on what we could have been if we were able to carry out our ministry that we have planned for the next 6 months. Church, face the reality and do not wish for 1 minute then all these are just one bad dream and it will go away and we can go back to normal. Look at the bigger picture, church. focus on the fact that God is still carrying His work according to His plans in the middle of a pandemic. God does not take a break. He does not need to self-quarantine. And He would not stop reaching out to those in need, just like you and me, who has been under lockdown, who have been discouraged and disappointed. He will continue to strengthen, comfort, and encourage people just like you and me. So let this be a very good reminder that our circumstances and how we feel do not determine the outcome of God's work. So be joyful. Now, at this point, you may ask, it's so hard to imagine and almost impossible to fathom how someone who is in a prison and a lockdown mode, not knowing whether he's going to live or die, can still be joyful. And you might wonder the question or be curious about what drives Paul's way of thinking. Now, during the lockdown, many of you have been looking for recipes for some very delicious, best homemade meal. I got quite a few recipes of those. So what is Paul's secret recipe? How can he keep his laser focus, whereas others like us struggle in the times of uncertainty? Now, the next few verses in chapter 1 contain Paul's secret recipe. And let's hear it from the master chef. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out to be for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Listen to this next verse. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, Paul's secret recipe is right here in verses 20 and 21. Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is one of the most powerful statements in the letter to the Philippians, and possibly the whole Bible. For Paul, Christ is the secret ingredient. Paul says, I will let God use my life to bring more honor to Christ, whether I live or die. I have nothing to lose and everything to gain simply because I have Christ. And guess what? In the realm of spiritual warfare, a principal, a disciple like Paul, with nothing to lose and everything to gain simply because he has Christ, is a weapon of mass destruction to the stronghold of our enemy. So even when everything is under lockdown and all hope seems to be lost, victory is guaranteed because of Christ. Now, this may sound so ridiculously simple, but it is scary how many Christians got it wrong or missing the mark. Now, when Christ is in our life, then no matter what happens, we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Now, let's hear it how Paul further explained this point. Verse 22, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. Verse 23, I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. As I read this passage, what amazes me the most is that to Paul, life and death situation is just a toss-up. If Caesar decided to have him executed, he would immediately be with Christ. And that, in Paul's opinion, that would be a much better option. Now, this certainly was not because Paul did not want to face the reality of trials and difficulties that he's facing and try to use death as an escape. Paul actually saw death as giving him immediate access to Christ. And I mean, what can be better than getting Christ and gaining Christ as a Christ follower? However, if God should allow him to continue to live and be released from prison, then he can continue his ministry for the benefit of the Philippians. Either way, it's a win for Paul. And if you look at the writings of Paul, you will find the same consistent message throughout the New Testament. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ is Paul's ultimate pursuit and treasure. How about you? How would you answer this question? For to me, to live is. Now, this is a very vital existential question for Christians because it defines our identity. For most of us who have been a Christian for a while, our problem is not that we don't know about the importance of Christ. Too often, our problem is that we tend to add more to Paul's statement. For to me, to live is Christ plus other things. For to me, to live is Christ plus my work and my career. For to me, to live is Christ plus my money and possessions. For to me, to live is Christ plus my children. For to me, to live is Christ plus my serving in church. For to me, to live is Christ plus my ministry on congregation. All too often, all these pluses have become our primary passion. We need to keep asking ourselves, what if these things were taken away from me as we are experiencing right now during this pandemic? Am I still the same Christ follower when these extra baggages are being stripped away? I think this pandemic is God's way of forcing us Christians to examine the core of our being and really, really take an honest look inside here to see what is the real identity of our being. Is Christ really the center of our being, or is there something else? During this pandemic, we find out very quickly as a society what is essential and what is non-essential. We learn about what are the most essential things or services for us to live and what other things we can live without. Perhaps this is a good opportunity to examine what is really essential in our following of Christ. Have we missed out the essential Christ in being a Christian? Wouldn't it be very ironic if we have been a Christian without Christ all these years? Have we been putting such an emphasis on non-essential things in our belief that we totally miss out the essential thing in our faith? If we have been occupied by the non-essential, may God have mercy on us while we replace all these non-essential items with what is ultimately the most important thing, Christ Himself. The issue is when COVID-19 strips away your work, your career, your education, your retirement funds, your serving in church on Sunday morning, whether it's in children ministry, tech team, site team, small group ministry, the question we need to ask is, what is really left? Is Christ still there? And over the last few months, if you find that whatever remaining is emptiness and disappointment and lost, then my brothers and sisters, we really need to wake up from this virtual reality. and put Christ back into the center of our core. People never like uncertainty. And I know that there are many uncertainties in your life right now. Your work, your family, your health, your church, your mortgages, your rent, your education, your graduation, your marriage. A lot of things are uncertain. As we begin to reopen, I'm not sure if you have a chance over the last 3 months of lockdown to reflect on who you really are as a human being, and more importantly, as a disciple. Yes, over the last few months, there's been chaos and uncertainty, but guess what? The strange thing is, deep down, we all know that even in the midst of chaos, there is actually clarity. In the midst of uncertainty, there's actually certainty. It is because when we finally quiet down and strip away all those things that have been tying us down and muddling up our view of who we really are, we can finally have that clarity. And that clarity may be very encouraging and joyful because you have seen Christ sitting in the center of your throne and your core. And I pray that God will continue to bless you. On the other hand, if that clarity has shown you that Christ was not in the center all along, I urge you to use this opportunity to put Christ back in the center of your life. Because Christ and Christ alone is enough, whether by life or by death. And that is one certainty that you can count on, no matter what. So church, rejoice. Be bold. Not at all ashamed, but with full courage. Not frightened. Let Christ be honored in your body, whether by life or by death. Your circumstances do not define you. COVID-19 does not define you. Because in Christ alone, we already have our new identity. Let this be the opportunity for us to realign and to reflect who we truly are. Don't let yourself continue to be stuck in a hopeless situation. I don't know exactly what your circumstances are, but let's not be discouraged. Be bold. God has used sufferings and extreme difficult situations throughout history to move His church to places that it needs to go. We have seen it through many stories in the Bible, and we have seen it in church history. We may think that this pandemic is a setback for spreading the Gospels, but count on the certainty that God will use these setbacks to advance His kingdom. And God will do the same for you through the Christ that is already in you. As we slowly reopen, I'm praying earnestly to the Holy Spirit that He will use today's message to stir up your soul, to reopen your heart, to reopen your mind, and to embrace this new reality. Church, don't waste this opportunity of a century. Make it count.
Let us rise to respond. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been You, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center. center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world. You're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Jesus at the center of your church. Jesus at the center of your church, and every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus at the center of your church. Jesus at the center of your church, and every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. It's all about you.
Yes, Jesus, you are the beginning and the end. It's all about you. You're the Alpha and the Omega, and it's all about you. Jesus, you're the first and the last, and it's all about you, and it's always been about you. And when we sing, you're at the center, we're not just singing it. You are. This is a fact. That you are at the center of your universe and all of our being,
all of creation revolves around you and the one that's on the throne. So God, if that's already a fact, if that's already the reality, that you're the center and you're the beginning and the end, and you're everything in between, God, I pray that you'll help us realize this reality. And you'll help us not just to sing those words, not just to know the facts, but God, live. Live in such a way that we know you're the first and you are the end. Live in such a way that you are the center of our being. Perhaps even to a point. To a point. Where it's a little bit like Paul. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. My life is all about Christ. And to die is to gain. Because to die is to see Christ. So God, help us to live in this reality where you are the first and the last and the center and everything in between. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
So now we're going to continue worship with offering. Offering is an act that God has called us to do, not just to support the church, but to make a difference in the world. And that's exactly what we've been doing, right? We have been doing this throughout our Reaching Out campaign. For the whole month of May, we're going to collect all the offering and we're going to donate it to the nonprofit organizations. And I have an update for you. The finalized number that we have received from finance team, I'm just going to make sure I don't read this wrong. We have received for the whole month of May, a total offering of $97,946.80, almost $100,000. What we're going to do is we're going to take all of those offering and we're going to distribute it. We're going to donate it to four nonprofit organizations, including UGM, Union Gospel Mission, including Compassion Canada, including Doctors Without Borders and Richmond Hospital Foundation. And my encouragement to you, our encouragement to you, is to don't let the generosity stop there, right? Just because we have a campaign in the month of May doesn't mean, you know, only for the month of May that we're going to be generous. I ask you to continue your generosity, continue to faithfully give and provide for those that are needy. Just like, you know, what Paul said, right? The encouragement to us from Paul is that, you know, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. We've learned this from our sermon, that God is going to provide for us to be generous, and God likes a cheerful giver. God delights in a cheerful giver. So I encourage you to keep on faithfully giving to the church and also to the organizations that you support. On another note, if you are new here, if this is your first time here, we have a connect card for you to fill out and we would love to connect with you through there. You can head to mykc.ca to find that connect card, or at the end of the service, we're going to have an end screen page where you can, you know, take your phone and use your camera app to scan the QR code, and it's going to bring you to a connect card you can fill in, and you can connect with us, connect with any of your pastors, and you can let us know if there's anything we can pray for you during this time. So I encourage you, if you're new here, you can fill out that connect card. Last thing, I want to point your attention to our YouTube channel. Especially if you have children, if you have young family, you know, elementary children or preschool, you know, infants, toddlers. If you have these children in your family, I want to point your direction to our YouTube channel, because our Karpos ministry, our children ministry, has been pumping up content, worship content, every single week for us, for the family, to worship in. And I've seen a couple of those, and they're quite funny, and they're quite encouraging. And when we've seen some videos from the children that they have sent back, and they all of them loved it. And some of them, they even said, like, they would watch it again and again and again, and they'll rewind and go back, and they'll rewind and go back. So I trust that this is going to be a very useful and a blessing to you if you have family to worship with them. So go check that out, KEC YouTube channel. You can search up our Koinonia Evangelical Church, search it out on YouTube, and you can find that there. And of course, you can also go to mykec.ca to find all of these that I've mentioned. Let me now bless you with the word of God. And I'm going to use the scripture from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, to bless you. Church, may your love abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So that wraps up our worship service today. We'll see you next week.